Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
The door to your freedom. Your success and happiness often depends on which doors you walk through or which doors you walk past. And the problem is we often go through the wrong doors. And sometimes if we connect and go through those wrong doors, those trap doors and detour doors, often that leads us down a path that takes us sometimes months or even years to get back on track or recover from. But God has all kinds of doors for your life. He has great doors, wonderful doors. But often we pass by those doors and we go through the wrong doors, but sometimes we pass even the wrong doors and we enter the right door. Some of them are opportunities, some of them are trap doors, some of them are detour doors, some of them are good doors. But God has set up many doors for your life that He wants you to walk through. But there is one door to beat all doors that you must recognize, because oftentimes you may be walking by doors that you want to walk through, but you just don't recognize them, or maybe you're not prepared for them. But there is a door above all doors. There is a door that beats every door. There is the door of Jesus. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. John chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, says Jesus' own words, "I am the door." Don't make me preach this morning, all right? Come on, He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." We could go home, but we're not going to, because we have much more to say. "They will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief," that's the devil, "he comes in only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, to the fullest." God wants you free. That is a major theme that you'll find throughout the scriptures, is the freedom that the gospel clearly offers. And so God has opened many prison doors, and you see that throughout scriptures, and there are many here today. You were once in a prison, and you are free. Some doors are entrances to the places that you need to go, but some doors are exits. Exits to places you should not be and you want to get out of and you don't want to be. But before I can get you to where you need to be and where you want to be, I got to get you out of where you are. Some of you need to take some exits this morning. And I'm going to talk about some prisons that maybe you need to get out of. You may be thinking, "Well, I'm not in a prison. What are you talking about? I'm not behind a door or locked bars." Or, well, you don't have to be in a physical prison to be in jail. You could be in a mental prison, you could be in an emotional prison, you could be in a spiritual prison. There's all kinds of prisons out there, but God is your exit. How does God break you out of jail? How does He do a jailbreak? How does He get you out of being incarcerated this morning? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning, because His name is Jesus Christ. We have so limited our Savior. Jesus can do so much more. We limit our lives to, in so many ways, when Jesus wants to expand our lives and take us to new places. Acts chapter 16 is a great physical prison that we see Jesus break some of His boys out of. Paul and Silas were locked up in jail. They were in shackles. They were weighted down, and they began to sing God's praises and began to worship together. And God sent a violent earthquake, the scriptures say, and shook the foundations of the prison. So all the prison doors were busted open, and the chains and shackles that were not only on Paul and Silas's ankles and wrists and stocks, but all of the prisoners came loose and dropped to the ground. Can you imagine the great clatter and crash of chains and shackles coming loose? What that must have been like. They could have all walked free at that moment. I mean, that last November we had ourselves quite a shaking. Yeah, some of you, that's still locked in your memory. You get a little shaken down, you're like all nervous and jolty and puts you on edge. Earthquakes, they happen. Sometimes God allows those earthquakes in our lives to shake us up a little bit, to shake the foundations, to set us loose, to loose us from our own sense of prisons and chains and doors that we're held under. The crises can do that to us. Maybe God wants to shake our foundations a little bit to set us free. Maybe he wants to shake our foundations a little bit of what we've always believed, to maybe stop and ask ourselves, do I still believe that today? You know, well, you maybe believed about your life or yourself or your parents, or maybe what success is really about or what God is really about. Maybe you'll walk away today and go, maybe I need to think things a little differently. Sometimes God will shake things up. Shake things up, shake your beliefs up, which you've always believed, where you stop and say, do I still want to believe that? Should I be believing that the rest of my life? The way I've always done it? Maybe I should stop and do things differently. You know, God will shake things up. He can do that. There are earthquakes that God will use to do that. As a matter of fact, today, for some of you, this may be an earthquake event. One of the greatest earthquakes in history, resurrection of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 through 53. And the earth shook. I just love this passage. I could drink this passage all day long. And the rocks were split. And the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Wow, the earth was proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were saints that were coming alive, coming out of their graves as a witness, dead people being raised to witness Jesus' resurrection. Can you imagine if your grandma showed up when she's been dead for 20 years? You say, okay, I'm a believer. I believe Jesus rose. The earth was proclaiming. Jesus wants to plug you into his resurrection power this Easter. 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the grave, and this very day, billions of people around this planet are celebrating this event. This movement that began 2,000 years ago, and hell has pulled out every stop to try to resist it, but it has been steamrolled at every attempt. And so here we are. The key, the history, the key to this historic event, Jesus' resurrection. Power of the resurrection 2,000 years ago. It's available to you and I on a daily basis. And Paul wanted us to understand that. He wrote this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. He says, what is the immeasurable greatness? You see, you can't even measure it. Of this power towards us who believe. It's. He says, oh, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Whew. I'm trying not to get too excited for y'all. But the same power that blew the doors off the tomb on Resurrection Sunday, not so Jesus could get out. He was gone. It was so he could see in. That same power that raised Jesus is available to you and I today. And it's available to break us out of any kind of prison that we might find ourselves in. Jesus has risen to release us. The idea of freedom, that's a big idea to God. You see it throughout the scriptures. He doesn't want you living in any kind of a prison. He doesn't want you enslaved to anything, whether it's guilt, fear, condemnation, loss, anger, whatever it may be, unforgiveness. God says, I am the door out of that. And you don't have to live there. See, the devil traffics in prison. That's his domain. That's what he wants to hold people captive to hopelessness. And the only way he can do it is through a lie. He's the father of lies, and he's a liar. And he will lie to you and hold you in darkness until you understand that Jesus said, I am the truth. And when you know the truth, you're going to be free. And so he says, come to the truth, come to the light. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, it says, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That means freedom for prisoners. He's not just talking about those people that are physically incarcerated. He's talking about the prisons that you and I can find ourselves in daily. Let me just rattle off. Let me just throw these out there, all right? I'm just going to start listing. How about relationships? Relationships can be a prison. You ever found yourself trapped in a relationship, smothered? You can't get out? You felt like, man, I am stuck. What am I going to do? It could even be a dangerous situation. Let me assure you of something. Whatever relationship you're in, if you enter the door through Jesus, that relationship, you can live free. Doesn't matter where you're at. Debt can be a prison. Mountains of debt. Have you ever faced debt that was stifling you? You couldn't dream about the future because all you could see was this debt that you were handcuffed to, and there was nothing you could do to get out of it. You felt strapped. You felt hopeless. I have counseled many young couples that have had over 40 some to $50,000 worth of credit card debt alone. And they could not dream for their future. One couple I can remember got really serious about the relationship with Jesus Christ, and they dug themselves out of that debt, and they're living free today because through Jesus, anything is possible. Addiction could be a prison. Addiction is riddling our society. Addiction is often born out of people who have come out of hopelessness and pain and abuse and abandonment and all the horrible things that this world does to people. And it becomes this false sense of escape, this place to numb the pain, to cope with the pain. If I could just get something to get me through this day. And so they shove it into their arm, whether it's a pornography or alcohol or meth or prescription drugs. There's all kinds of ways to get addicted out there. And there are people running into that place only to exchange one sort of pain for another source of torment and imprisonment. It's another trap door that hell is locking people into, and they feel hopeless. There are people today, though, even part of our church, our faith community here, that are part of Set Free Alaska. They're part of Celebrate Recovery, and they are walking free of addiction, and they are becoming highly addicted to Jesus, the door that saves. Expectations of others can be a prison. You feel like, man, I got to be like my dad, what he wants me to be, or my mom, or my wife, or husband, or somebody out there. You're living your life for somebody else and not for you. Somehow you've had to measure up to that, and it becomes a prison to you. But Jesus wants you to be free to be you. He wants you to be free to who he created you to be. He does not want you to be a carbon copy, which most people fall into. He created you unique, and he wants you to keep that uniqueness and live in that unique identity that he has given you. And he says, just take your identity from me, not from the people around you. Do what I want you to do. When you do what Jesus wants you to do, it's always going to be right. You know, religion can be a prison. That's a tough one. Can't measure up. Always trying to measure up. Adhere to the rules. Every crossing every T and dotting every I, and, you know, going through all kinds of behavior modifications because I just, you know, I just feel like I keep blowing it, and God's so upset with me, and he's so angry, and I got to keep my dirty distance all the time, and I got to somehow work my way back in there, and I got to make it happen, and you just got white knuckles all the time, and you're living in fear, and you just can't make it. It's all about the good works, you know. Let me tell you, you were not saved by good works. You were saved for good works. Big difference. It's not about doing this and doing that. It's a bunch of doo-doo. It's not about that. It's about being a son and daughter of God in that relationship, walking through that door. It's about what Jesus has done on Calvary, on the cross for you. What he accomplished for you, what he did for you and accomplished a place for you to be with him. He says, come to the relationship, not the religion. And be free. Live free. He didn't save you to be bound. He saved you to be free, to live life truly life, what is truly life. Painful memories can be a prison. That's a big deal today. I talk to a lot of people that have hurt in their background, sense of failure, mistakes they've made, never gotten past their past, stuck with mental grief, fatigue, failure. Negative emotions can become such a prison. Loss can be so huge. Loss has imprisoned so many people. It leads to the depression and discouragement, disappointment, despair. You know, we have a grief share that meets on Sunday night, and people are walking into freedom, leaving the loss behind, finding Jesus as the door. There's lots of things that can imprison us. Pretending can be a prison. You can spend much of your time and money and energy and effort faking it so you can make it. Trying to be somebody else that you're not. So you're not living the real life that you were called to live. You're always worried about, well, nobody's going to like me if they see the real me. So we're always trying to act like this group or that group or that. And pretty soon you just wonder, what am I? How do I fit in? See, pretending forces us to wear a lot of masks. That could be incredibly exhausting. Keeping the mask on all the time. Looking and feeling, trying to feel good and trying to have all the goods and think we got it. So people think we got it all together if I just do what I got to do. People-pleasing, perfectionism, leads you into a path of prison. Prison of pretending. Proverbs 29:26 says this, 25. says, the fear of man lays a snare. In other words, the fear of human opinion will debilitate you. It will disable you. You'll be feared and snagged by it all day long. Worried about what so-and-so thinks and snared by that, and you're not free to be you. Who God created you to be. Living for the approval of others, it'll wear yourself out. We need to live for the audience of one, the one who created you and loves you for who he created you to be. Not for the 100 other people out there that could care less. I'd rather live for one than all of that. You know, I've discovered that even God can't please everybody. So why are you trying? There's a lot of people that are really upset with God because he just didn't toe the line for them. Why are we trying to do that? If God can't please everybody, surely we can't. Let's just relax. Let's let our hair down a little bit, okay? Trying to be what everybody else wants us to be when God is pleased with us already for who we are and who he's created you to be. That's where you want to live. One of the biggest tools today, and I have to mention this today, that we're dealing with, that many people are being imprisoned with when it comes to pretending, is social media. It's become a huge snare for people. It's become a huge trap door. You can have a great dessert like the night before, and you say, well, I'm going to take a picture of this, snap, put it on your Instagram. You know what? The next day, you're going to have five other out there that look just so much better than your dessert because somebody just had to one-up you, right? Oh, it's maddening. It's exhausting. You know, study after study after study have shown us, and these are true studies, that Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and all the others out there are increasing levels of suicide, increasing levels of depression, increasing levels of dissatisfaction and unhappiness the more you use it. I find that very interesting. Run to Jesus. You will never be dissatisfied. Nobody can outdo your Jesus. He'll always be great in your eyes. And when you introduce him to somebody else, he'll be just as great. So, stop the constant comparing. God doesn't want you to compare yourself to anybody else. There's nobody like you. He says, I am the door out of that prison. Perfectionism can be a prison. That's a big one. I've run into that so many times. I've had to wrestle with that in my own life at times. You know, you feel like you got to be perfect in order to be loved. You know, if that's true, none of us are ever going to be loved because nobody's perfect. That's a sobering truth. Boy, you can relax a lot after hearing some of this stuff today. Because none of us are perfect. You have to fake it to make it all the time. Being so hard on yourself, you're hard on everybody else, then you're no fun to be with. Nobody wants to be around you, right? Look, if you're not like me, then you can't, you know, because if everybody's like me, then we'd have a better place. And well, I'm not so sure that's true. But if I don't want you feeling good about you because I don't feel good about me, if I'm going to be harsh on me and I'm going to be judging me, then through my perfectionism, then, you know, I'm surely not going to let you feel good about you. So we're all miserable together. You know, the only one who's perfect is Jesus. Yeah. I think we should mirror our lives after him and let his grace cover your imperfections. That's a great place to stand. Jesus is so much nicer than we are on ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves and people around us. Jesus is so much nicer. So switch your focus to what God thinks and take your identity from him. Because there's only one person who knows you completely, who loves you unconditionally, and knows exactly what he created you to do and who he created you to be. And if you do what God wants you to do, you're always going to be in the right place. And don't worry about what everybody else cares. If God likes you and loves you, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's their problem, right? If you're worried about it, then you're imprisoned by everyone's opinions and expectations. How about fear? Boy, that's a big one. Fear is a prison as well. We call it worry. We call it anxiety. I'm really anxious today. I'm really stressed out. You know, that is all fear-based. That bubbles out of the fountain of fear. Yeah, you know, it will always lock you in a prison. Fear never gives you that open, expansive life. Fear will always shrink your borders and restrict you and cause you to live a very small life. That's what fear does. Easter, 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the grave, and a lot of the disciples heard about it, but they weren't sure it was true because they haven't seen him yet. And they're a little freaked out at the moment. Jesus got crucified. We're next. So they're hiding out. John chapter 20, verse 19 says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you. Easter Sunday, disciples are hiding. They weren't celebrating like you and I are today. They're hiding behind locked doors because of fear and chivalry. Jesus is standing there. Here I am to save the day, basically. Peace. It's okay, guys. I got this. Pretty amazing. Lock doors out of fear. Fear always locks people out of your life. Always does. Who have you locked out of your life because of fear? Boy, I'll never let another man hurt me again. That's a prison. I'll never let another woman get close to me like that again. That's a prison. Well, love hurts, man. I've been hurt. We know love hurts. You know, part of love is hurt. Didn't they write a song in the 70s about that? Love hurts! Yeah! I told myself, don't do that during the message. I couldn't help it. So what if you're off key or weird or something? I don't know. I know, I used to be in the old 70s. Yeah, I used to do all, yeah. Thank God he saved me. Thank God I found the door. I found the door, Jesus. Love does hurt. As long as you're going to be on this planet, this broken planet, spinning off on sin, you're going to experience pain in life. You can't get away from it. It's just part of life. Yeah, you're going to love and you're going to hurt. Just don't compound the problem by building prisons of fear. Don't go there. Don't do it. How do I stop it? Well, you're not going to stop it in this life. But some people lock God out of their life because of fear. You don't need to be afraid of God. He loves you more than any man will ever love you. He loves you more than any woman will ever love you. He will never love you more this moment or this less this moment right now, because God's love is not based on what you do. It's unconditional. You can't make God love you more right now. You can't make him love you any less. You could sure try, but you will fail, because it's not based on what you do. It's based on who he is. God is love. Who he is. But many people have locked him out of their life for fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with imprisonment or punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. God's love is perfect. Jesus, good, loving, strong Jesus, his love is perfect. You meet Jesus, you walk through the door of perfect love. And you don't have to worry about punishment. Like it says, fear has to do with, because Jesus was punished for us. So you're no longer in the path of the wrath when you come to Jesus. You're in the flow of his love. Perfect love. And nothing breaks prison doors like fear by like encountering the perfect love of Jesus. When you invite Jesus through the front door of your mind, the perfect love, fear has to go out the back door, because the two cannot exist together. Unforgiveness. That is another prison that we can find ourselves in. See, you need forgiveness in your life. You're going to have to ask for forgiveness. You're going to offer forgiveness. You're going to have to accept forgiveness. You need to give forgiveness to others. Because when I hurt people, I'm going to feel guilty, and I need to ask for forgiveness. When somebody hurts me, I'm going to feel pretty resentful, and so I need to offer forgiveness. And unless you do that, you're going to be locked up into a prison called unforgiveness. You can have something that happened 10 years ago by an individual. And when you think about them today, the sting is just as fresh, because you're locked in a prison of unforgiveness that keeps you locked in time. But you can walk out. You can walk out of that prison, not be stuck. In order for you to walk through any door of opportunity that God has for you, you first must walk out of the prison of unforgiveness. That person you're holding on to, that person you just can't let go, that person you're remaining judge over instead of giving them over to the just judge, that one you got a grip on, that you got a grudge against, the only way you're going to get free is to let them go. That's how you get out of prison. You got to let them go. You might be thinking, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Who said anything about being deserving? I didn't deserve to be forgiven. You didn't deserve to be forgiven, but God has forgiven us. It's not about deserving. Forgiveness is about getting on with your life. It's It's about being free. It's about setting yourself free. It's not that they deserve it. Not that what they did was right. Nothing like that's justified. Give them to God. He knows how to handle that kind of stuff. We're not good at it. You can forgive because God's forgiven you. God has already forgiven me, so I need to forgive people. That's what scriptures say. You will never have to forgive anybody more than what God has forgiven you. I'm going to say that again. You will never have to forgive anybody any more than what God has already forgiven you. So Christ came to do. Our sins are forgiven. They're wiped out. Case closed. You go to heaven, there's no record. None. No record. That's astounding, isn't it? Hard for us to conceive that, but that's the truth. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, If you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespass, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's a sobering passage from the words of Jesus. So when you don't forgive other people, you get hurt. You pay the price. You stay in prison. Bitterness, resentment makes you hurt, makes you miserable. Doesn't hurt them, it hurts me. It's like, I'm going to drink that rat poison and hope that dirty rat dies. That's what happens. Doesn't hurt them. When you hold on to resentment and bitterness, it hurts you more than it hurts anybody else. You remain their prisoner of pain because you are chained to them. Never give anybody that much power over your life through unforgiveness. Get the power back by letting them go. Break the chain so when you think about it and there's no that, it's more of, I'm free. I'm free to move on in my life. They're in God's hands. He's the judge. So, don't make the mistake of walking through the wrong door this morning. We're going to need not just forgiveness for our past, we're going to need it for our future. I'm going to fail. I'll make mistakes. I'll sin. I'll make bad choices. You'll do the same thing. You need forgiveness for your future as well. So walk in forgiveness. Learn to walk in that grace and live in that place of freedom. The reason why Jesus forgave us, because we were trapped in the door of sin. He set us free by the cross. And once you receive Jesus, you experience the forgiveness, then he gives you the capacity to do what I'm talking about. He gives you the capacity to do it, to experience forgiveness yourself. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Those who fully trust in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the door. You walk through me, you'll be saved. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means everybody. Sin was a prison. Comes with the three stooges, I call them, guilt, shame, and condemnation. They shove you here, they push you there, they smother you there. You can't get away from them, you can't shake them loose until you come to Jesus Christ. John 8:34 says, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And Jesus says it's time to come to him and walk through the door of salvation and begin to live the life worthy of the one who gave you life through his death. Our old sinful nature, unredeemed life, calls the shots, tells us how to live, how to move, where to go, how to think, how to feel, governing our every thoughts, imprisoned and shackled. And then Jesus came along, and John 8:36 said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Real freedom, not fake freedom. Believe me, we got enough fake things. We got fake flavors. Fake fur, fake leather. Now we got fake news. This is not fake news. This is the good news that the Bible says makes the heart sing and dance and leap for joy. That's the good news. Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. And the more of God you get in your life, the freer you're going to be. Jesus said, I have come to give life and life to the fullest. Life without prisons. Life to the max. Have you ever walked through that door and received Jesus and been set free. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is not exclusive. How can you say he's the only way? He's all inclusive because he has welcomed everyone to walk through his door. I don't know any other religion that does that. There's too many barriers. Jesus says, I'll remove the barriers. So he went to the cross. He says, I have come to give you life. Freedom. Can I just have you bow your heads for a moment before we move on? This morning, if you're here today, Easter Sunday, you just heard a clear message. Jesus was very crystal clear. He says, I'm the door. You walk through me, you'll be saved. You'll never have to worry again whether you're going to be in heaven with him or not. You'll never have to ever worry again about slipping into a Christless eternity, but you'll be in a place filled with Jesus. You'll never have to worry about your tomorrow because you'll get up knowing you got some hope. Because it may not be easy, but you got somebody who's conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave, and he's going to help you through it. And he's going to change you one step at a time. Anybody here just slip up and say, you know, I need to give my heart to Christ, or I need to come home, I need to come back to Jesus. I'm not going to rush through this point. Anybody here on Easter Sunday, you're saying, Pastor Chris, that's me. I need to give my heart to Christ. I need to rededicate my life. I need to come home. Anybody here? I'm not going to slip past it. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not going to move on too fast. I'm going to wait. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. God, you're good. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God is speaking to people. God is dealing with hearts right now. He's touching hearts. He loves you, and he doesn't want you to do life without him. And he wants you to live in the most free place you could ever live. As you, some of you responded in here, I'll just lead a prayer. You can agree in your heart. Father God, I receive your son this morning. Lord, I'm returning home, or I'm coming to you for the first time, but I just want to walk through you. Lord, you're the door. I want to be saved. Saved from myself, saved from my sins, saved from the prisons I've been in. God, set me free. I receive your grace right now. Forgive me for what I've done. I choose to live life on your terms now. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I yield my life to you. I take you today as my Savior and my Lord, and I'm going to trust you for my tomorrows. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of our podcasts and to discover how you can connect, visit us at churchak.org or download our Church on the Rock AK app from either iTunes or Google Play.